faith when she was whole, to touch the hem of his garment, and the heart who shall be free. His saving power, his very hour, shall give new life to me. She came in fear and trembling before him. She knew her Lord had come. She felt that from him virtue had healed her. The mighty deed was done. Who touched the hem of his garment, and the heart who shall be free. His saving power, this very hour, shall give new life to thee. He turned with thunder, be of good comfort, thy faith had made thee whole. And peace that passeth all understanding, with gladness filled her soul. Oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power, this very hour, shall give new life to thee.
Amen. I guess getting to the point that should be a four-verser, but we'll stick with the three until someone comes up with another one. Let's turn to the very front and we'll do How Great Thou Art. And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing that. How Great Thou Art, number one.
Oh, Turn tonight from the Word of God to Job chapter 40. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and says, Shall he that contendeth with the mighty instruct him? He that reproveth God with him answered. Then Job answered the Lord and says, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer thee twice, but I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me, that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou hum thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and ecstasy, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and hold every one that is proud, and abase him. Look on every one that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee, that thine own right hand can save thee. Behold that behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo now, his strength is in his loins, and his belly is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong brass, pieces of brass. His bones are like barred fire. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river, and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan unto his mouth. He taketh with his eyes, his nose pierceth the reed snares. Amen.
Amen, indeed. Whole point of the question is, canst thou draw out behemoth? Is no, only God can do certain those things. We have to put our faith in him and not in the stuff that we can do. Now, anybody got any prayer requests that'd like to add to our pink prayer list? Anybody got any prayer requests?
Ukraine, that's really on there as well.
Yep. I think it is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And your countries.
Okay, anybody, you know what I never asked this morning, has anybody got any private prayer requests? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Me, Monica, I have 2. I'm sure Lynn will have, Stephen.
Well, it's my cousin William as well.
Right, Will, Norma, and Charlotte as well. Okey-dokey. I think that's about that. Is there anything else we need to be? Just want to remind you to pray for William Spears. He's in hospital with cellulitis. Had a kidney transplant, 5 years ago? And had some infection or other that wiped out his kidneys, and his brother gave him one. Some tissue rejection drugs, which means his immune system's compromised, and any infection at all is going to get the better of him. So please do pray for him at this time as well. Pray for each other. There's a lot going on in the world. Keep your head screwed on. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep the scriptures in your heart and mind, and they will keep everything going in the right direction. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we will continue on. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time around your word, for this time that we're able to just come together and lift up your praises. And I pray, Father, please, we really do need you, Lord. We really do need you. Please put your hand upon each one of us here this evening, on all those souls, Lord, that are gathered together in your name to do exactly the same, Lord, for the prayers, the praises, the tithes, the offerings, the teaching, the preaching, the fellowshiping, Lord, all things that we're just not going to get at home. I pray, Lord, bless this time and use it to edify us, to strengthen us, to comfort us, Lord, to point us in the right direction. You know there's a lot going on in the world. You know what your people really need is a closer walk with you. And I pray that for each one of us, Lord, for all those that love you. I pray, Lord, please, that you don't be done with us, that you would even at this time use us to reach those, many of those, Lord, that lost their way during the last couple of years. And I pray, Father, that you would restore them to fellowship, that you would save their souls, Father, that you would just deliver them their needs and our daily bread. I thank you, Lord, for all the folks you put across our paths, and I just want to pray especially for William and James Spears at this time. For all those that are in a sick bed, pray for Monica's mom especially as well. I pray, Lord, for our parents, that you would or just watch over and keep them. For our siblings, you'd put your good hand upon them and guide them and direct them. For our children, Lord, that you would even now use what they have heard from us of the gospel to direct their paths. Lord, for our country's leaders, for a great conviction upon them, Lord. Please, I pray, just oppose evil at every turn, and please bless the good, Lord. Just love you and thank you. And we know, Lord, this world has needed you like it never had in its whole history. Please, Lord, minister to the many that are looking for you. We love you and praise you. Just thank you, Father, for your Son, for the grateful gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for divinely preserving it for us. And for the Jews, Lord, please bless them and watch over them. We love you. We praise you. We just thank you for this time and pray that most importantly, your will to be done. Amen. Let's take a wee black book and let's sing another one of those songs that you all picked this evening. I believe number 23 was picked at one point. Daniel was a man of prayer. It might not be familiar, but you'll definitely know the song. It's Near the Cross. So number 23 in the wee black. The number in the book. Can't believe my it's number 10 in the hymn book. But is it number 10 in the music machine? 504.
Is it not written down? I will apologize.
Goodness.
That was when I made the new book. I missed that.
I heard a fellow say very, very recently that a man would lose his job for that if he had done that. All right, Norman. Amen.
The little one day they had encountered.
somebody choose number 25?
There you go.
And the one after that is that number 27?
Yeah.
We will do number 25 next. I am his and he is mine. And stand as we sing, and then we will open our Bibles for a little bit this evening. Amen. Says they have favorite chapters, mine really changes with the day, but Matthew chapter 24, which speaks a lot about the last days and the time running up to them. Mark chapter 13 is that equivalent portion of scripture in the book of Mark, obviously. I want to talk about the subject, no fear. No fear. And we're reading from Mark chapter 13. Beginning of verse number 1, the word of God says, "And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And As he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" And Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten. And ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein, to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time. And neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened those days. And then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'Lo, he is there,' believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the very elect. But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things." Amen. Stopping there, speaking on the subject of no fear. Taking verse number 7, verse number 23, as verses that I would like to particularly think on. I'd also like to think on verses 5 and verses 9 and verse 23 again. But we'll come to those in a minute. We're speaking on the subject of no fear. Let's have a word of prayer. Will, would you lead us again, if you would?
Dear Father, for this night, Lord, I thank you for saving us, Lord, and for your manifold blessings, that we are yet sinners, your Son died for the cross for our sins, Lord. Only they that call upon for salvation and repent of their sins and ask Jesus to save them will be saved, Lord. But for the services for this land, for this world, are sharpened, Lord, for the people inside, Lord, and teach them through the full counsel of the word, Lord, and through the Holy Spirit, Lord, and reach out and touch souls and correct people off their sins, Lord, and Lord, may new names be written in the last book of life, even tonight, Lord, as well, Lord. Give the Jews in their homeland to live from any trouble, Lord, and Lord, convict them and save them from their sins, and Lord, that they may realize that the true Messiah is the Lord Jesus Christ, guiding them across the table from their sins and our sins as well, Lord. And Lord, if we pray that this time, Lord, to live from any trouble, and Lord, save them, stop the war, Lord, stop the senseless murder and killings, Lord, are happening, Lord, and you might push the Russians back, Lord, and basically save Putin as well, Lord, if it be possible, but everything's possible for thee, Lord. Love us this night, Lord, and provide for us and keep us, Lord, and help us this night and touch our souls for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. First of all, verse number 5 and verse number 23 and verse number 9, they have these words in them. Take heed. Says, take heed to yourselves. Take heed. In other words, listen up. This is important. You need to pay attention. Now the Lord, all of those things that we've just mentioned and the rest of the chapter, Everything except one of them is for us. 2,000 years after Jesus Christ walked in this world, every single thing in that chapter is for us, except one thing. One thing at the very, very beginning of this chapter was for the disciples. And he said to the disciples, whenever they asked him, and they, just like us, that's the reason why there's so many horoscopes, even in conservative newspapers, guiding people away from trusting in God and trusting in some fool that looks into a crystal ball or checks some charts compared to some star sign somewhere. The Lord said, I am going to tell you this, and whenever this happens, you will know that everything else that I have told you is going to happen. In fact, verse number 23 says, behold, I have told you before it happens. Jesus said, whenever they were saying, people will come into Bethlehem and say the same thing whenever it's done. They say, look at this beautiful building, they will say. That's what people will say, especially the ones that knew the old building. They'll say, look at the workmanship. Well, hopefully they'll not ever see the electrical wiring because they'll have a fit. And they'll say, look at how straight and square the walls are now compared to what they used to be. That's what the disciples, they didn't say that about Bethlehem. They said that about the synagogue. There was a lot of work went into them. It wasn't just something you put up even in 6 months. It was decades. And Jesus said, do you see all this? It's going to come to the point in the very near future, he said, and not one stone will be stood upon another. And whenever Israel rebelled and the Romans literally leveled Jerusalem, they tore the place apart to get at all the gold that had melted in between the bricks. 30 years later, there wasn't one stone left standing on another. And that was in the lifetime of most of these men. And then they remembered and thought, hold on a wee second. Jesus, the Messiah, he told us a bunch of other stuff as well. Just like he told us that. And they wrote that down for us. And there's a lot of stuff there. And do you know what? It's thought provoking. It doesn't talk about a great age of peace. It doesn't talk about that. It talks about a time of wars and rumors of wars. And we have that. We have had that for the whole history of man. But we now have more rumors of wars than wars. It talks about earthquakes all over the place. Especially under the water. Diverse places as opposed to diverse places. Great tsunamis. It talks about, in Matthew, it talks about famines and pestilences. And we have that in spades this past couple of years. Worldwide plagues, although people were afraid of something they couldn't see that everyone was talking about. They really should be afraid of someone that they can't see that nobody's talking about. The Lord said, do not be afraid of him that can destroy the body. Be very afraid of him that can destroy the soul in hell. That's who you ought to be afraid of, God Almighty. The Lord said, a whole bunch of stuff's going to happen. And he doesn't say that so that we find a table to hide under and sit with our teeth chattering and chewing our nails down to the quick. He doesn't say that so that we'll spend our whole lives saying, oh, why, Lord, why did you do this to us? And I'm afraid all the time. He said this so that we could say, hold on a wee second. If this stuff's going to come, maybe we ought to get ready. And that's the reason why the Lord left all these things in the Word of God. But not just so that we could get ready, but so that we would know that this is the Word of God and every word is in it, the King James Bible, for a reason. It's to make us better. To save us from our sins. To secure for us a home in heaven. But to make us better people. To make us the people that we ought to be. Why shouldn't we be afraid? When the Bible talks about fear, it's not talking about how you feel when you're looking at a 150-pound wolf and all his mates with their yellow eyes watching at you. You're allowed to be afraid, and you're allowed to let that adrenaline give you an extra few miles per hour when you're legging it in the opposite direction. Either that, or carry a pair of trainers and put them on first and go with friends. You've heard that one, haven't you? When the guys are being chased by wolves, one of them stops a moment and he pulls his trainers on, and the other one laughs and says, "You're never going to outrun wolves. They can go at like 40 miles an hour." And he says, "I don't have to outrun the wolves. I only have to outrun you." We're allowed to feel that sort of fear. We're allowed to get a wee adrenaline surge that might save our lives and know what it's like. When I came down off the scaffold and I thought broken leg, broken arm, broken back, that could be anything. And I got up with a good solid kick up the pants and the ground came up to meet me. I could even have had a broken hip. I'm probably in that age group, to be quite honest.
Sorry.
And it took me a minute, as Norman gave me a bit of good advice. He says, "Go and walk that off there. Go for a walk up the road there and you'll be grand." And the Lord was good and it did. But give me pause for thought. Things could have... Our renovations might have stopped at the front door. What the Bible is really talking about is not living your life in fear. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? The whole world is out to get me. What about my eternity? Where am I going to spend the endless ages of eternity? How am I going to make it through until tomorrow? People are talking about me. I'm going to lose all my money in stocks and shares. All of these things. The things that quite literally crush people. And it gets even worse whenever every press agency in the world is involved in putting a spirit of fear into anyone that is foolish enough to listen to them. And they have done that for 2 years. They've been working on it for decades. They successfully carried it out over the last 2 years, a campaign of fear that had people afraid to turn up in God's house. A campaign of fear that meant people didn't even want to call upon sick relatives. And even those that were going to step off into eternity, they weren't afforded those last days or hours with loved ones. Not only fear, but anger then as well. And we are not built to live with that all the time. We are built to experience those things. We're built to deal with those things, but we're not built to live with those things. Those things can hurt us. And they can mark us. The Bible says, "Be angry and sin not." That means, be G'd up. Get annoyed. And solve your problem. And then let it go. But do not live in fear or anger. All that you're doing, if you live in fear, is rob yourself of today. Thinking about what might happen tomorrow. Anything other than the peace of God, you're not doing yourself any favors. You're robbing yourself of your ability to think clearly. You're robbing yourself of your ability to reason. You're robbing yourself of your ability to successfully prepare yourself or to serve the King of Kings. Let's just get churchy. Let's just get spiritual. Oh, if I start talking about Jesus, people are going to think I'm a holy Jew. That's the whole idea. If I start carrying a Bible around, they're going to call me a goody two-shoes. Well, you're supposed to be better if you're living for Jesus. But you shouldn't be afraid. It was really sad in these days to see so many people running up and down that road. It's not that it makes me jealous, but it makes me think that a lot of people are just not sure what tomorrow might bring. And so they push their bodies that little bit harder in an effort to extend their lives and put off the day that they step off into eternity and then have to give an account of themselves to the King of Kings. Whenever there's more people in gyms on a Sunday morning than there are in churches, you know that people are following a false doctrine. They're there for fear. They're certainly not there doing themselves any good. When people are given over to the next fad or the next thing, whenever they're looking for something to give their lives meaning, you know that they have given in. They have let fear have rule of their lives. We know it's there. I'm sure we've all felt it a little bit. I'm sure we all put a mask on our faces at some stage and walked into a shop because we didn't want somebody coughing and spluttering on us. We didn't want to touch that money, even though it was plastic and all you had to do was give it away. We didn't want to go and speak to our friends. I know certainly that people didn't want to come anywhere near me and accept the gospel tract. I thought a guy was going to take off and run in the driveway. When I walked up the driveway, he looked at me and his eyes as big as saucers. Were you there? Well, we were having this discussion the other day down in Westlake where Ling lives. And I handed him a gospel tract and he took half a step back. And I took a step towards him and he jumped back. I said, "All right, I got you now. You're afraid." Imagine living like that. Imagine waiting for a saviour that will never come. Imagine what that does to people's hearts and minds. It's destroying them. We know what the problem is. That's always been man's problem. How do you get around it? How do you get rid of that fear? The Bible has a solution. Although I think it's a solution that's not much subscribed to. The Bible actually says perfect love casts out fear. And that doesn't mean you find someone that looks beautiful and is beautiful and is smart and witty and just ticks all your boxes. That's not what it means. That perfect love is not the romantic love that we feel. And it's not the love that a mother has or a parent has for their child. And it's not the love that a child has for their parent, husband for wife, person for their hobbies, or their job. It's not the perfect love that the Bible's talking about. You know the perfect love that I'm going to mention. It's the love that God has for us. It's the love that God has for us that actually made Jesus leave heaven for us and come down to here. Now, I don't know what the difference between here and heaven is, but I know the difference between solid ground and mucky ground. Whenever we were working out on the ramps there, and Norman was giving me a whistle-stop tour of how to lay ramps and steps and concrete blocks, we were literally clattered in muck every single day. A heavy set clay that stuck to everything and dirtied everything. And you couldn't go anywhere except you would see big dirty footprints. And I would say maybe that's the difference between heaven and here. Here's filthy dirty. Sin in every hand. Death in every hand. Every time the Lord would look at somebody in this world, he could see them aging and dying. He could see every one of their sins and knew who was for heaven and who was for hell. He knew who was going to delight him and he knew who was going to greatly disappoint him. Great white throne of judgment. Remember we were reading in Ezekiel this morning? I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, so turn yourselves and live. That's what Christ was saying every time he looked at us. Those that would be saved, he knew who would be. He's not going to force them, but he certainly knew who would be. And he knew who wouldn't be. And he loved us so much, he literally waited in sin and filth and mire for 30 years to reach you and me. That is the perfect love. That was the outward display of perfect love. The action of perfect love kept him on the cross whenever he could have called 12 legions of angels down to this world to rightly wipe mankind out, because that's what we deserve. The perfect love that he has for us kept him on the cross. Whilst all our sins were put to his account, while he suffered for our sins. That perfect love that brought him back 3 days later from the dead after having paid for our sins, after having emptied paradise, after having come back and paid a passing visit to Mary Magdalene and some of his disciples before he went up to heaven, that perfect love brought him back down again and kept him here for another 40 days and nights, proving that he is indeed God Almighty, that he has conquered death for you and me, and that he will give that to whosoever will. That's perfect love. At great cost to himself and no cost to you and me, Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again on the third day just to show us he is the master of death. He has conquered it and he wants to give that to us. The only way to get that perfect love is to tell God you're sorry for your sins. Is to admit to him, Lord, you've been right all these years and I've been wrong. I need to get saved. Would you please save me? Would you please forgive me? I know I'm a sinner. Would you please forgive me? And you know what the great thing about it is? You know when you look at a child, or sometimes you look at people, you know they're lying through their teeth. You know that. You know when people's on the level after a little bit. It doesn't take too much. Anybody who's got a few miles on the clock or a few years on the tape, you know when people are lying to you. Well, God knows too. And he checks your heart and your mind, even as he listens to your words. And whenever they both match up, he'll forgive you. Anybody can come to him. Mussolini could have come to him. Stalin could have come to him. Hitler could have come to him. Genghis Khan could have come to him. The pharaohs of Egypt could have come to him. Allah, not Allah. Muhammad could have come to him. Allah was just a lump of stone or a lump of gold. The statue sitting on the shelf somewhere. He could have come to him. I reckon even Lucifer, if he had said, Lord, I am having great difficulty here, I need your help, could have come to him. Didn't happen. Didn't happen for those men either. You might even find that there's a lot of kings and judges and princes and certainly people who have had this charade over them for so many years that now the covers are being peeled back and we're seeing what they're really like. They could have come to Jesus too, and they still can if they're still alive. But it is that love for us that opens the doorway, the pathway to the foot of the cross, where anybody can come to Jesus Christ. And you see, when you're saved, that is the start of a great journey. It's the start of a new life. It's the start of a walk with God. It's the start of experiencing the presence of God every day, as much as you want. It's the start of feeling the effects of God's power in your life, that assurance of salvation. It's like saying to a little child, just remember. You don't have to explain to a little child that they've got a home, they've got a mummy and a daddy. If they have a home and a mummy and a daddy, they take it for granted. But you know us big people, us smart people that are supposed to be educated, we need to be told, and the Bible says that. Jesus says, you see, remember that day that I saved you? He says, I've been keeping you in the palm of my hand ever since, and no man can pluck you out. And that verse changed my life forever. It took me from the pulpit, the pew to the pulpit. It sent me around the doors. It enabled me to work for God instead of working to cover my own behind, because all of a sudden I understood that God had secured my home in heaven. And all that he asked me to do was give somebody else the same opportunity. Tell them at the door. Tell them at the street corner. Tell them on the internet. Tell them on the phone. But tell them that I love them the best, and they don't have to spend the rest of their lives in fear. And it's not something you can sit and work out. It's not a perfect love is greater than fear. It's not a mathematical equation. It is a deeply spiritual, actual effect on the human soul that the salvation of that soul causes, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit keeps, and the firing up with God's word will fire it up. See, it's all very well to know that these things do. People will say God's word's full of promises and full of helps. What's the one you always say? It's like God's word's full of contradictions, and the first thing a Christian should say is, and what is it? Tell me what the first contradiction is that comes to your mind. What is the first of promises that's in God's word? What is the first of God's helps that is in God's word? Is to you as an individual. And a lot of people will say, well, I don't know, but I know they're in the Bible. That's like somebody saying, I know there's money out there for me somewhere, but I don't just know where it is. I know there's food in the cupboard, but I don't just know where it is. I think my phones are talking to the speakers. And they're talking away and they seem to be quite busy. Well, we're good there. Must be the other one.
I was going to say I'll edit that out, but I'll probably not even do that. Airplane mode, I'll sort that out.
Did you know that God loved you more than he loved his own son? God's not Santa Claus. He doesn't just land once a year with gifts. He's there every moment of every day. Does he not say in the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread? This is how we're supposed to speak to God. Talk to him every day. Talk to him all day. And ask him for the things that you need. Most people don't know that. Most people will say, I don't like to ask for the things that I need. I pray for other people. Why? Why? When God says to ask about yourself. God, I'm hurt about this. I'm annoyed about this. I'm happy about this. I'm having difficulties with this. God said, if you talk to me about these things, these daily bread things that you have, there will be an incredible peace that will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. People don't know that. And as a result, many Christians live their lives in fear. People are afraid of Christians. Churchgoers are afraid of offending God and committing sins. And yet they don't know how to stop. They will say, sins, get behind me, I'm holding a Bible. I can almost see Vincent Price and the other guy that played Grand Moff Tarkin in Star Wars. What do you call him? Christopher Lee and Vincent Price, isn't that it? That it will keep them away. It will keep the monsters at bay and it will give you a long life. It doesn't work that way. It will keep the devil at bay, and it can extend your life. If you honour your mother and father, the Bible says, your days will be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But it's not going to do one blessed bit of good unless it's installed. It's like nuclear power. Does everyone remember the Ever Ready battery ads? Goes on longer, 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 and that wee bunny would be so busy smashing those cymbals together for ages and ages and ages. I'm sure there were many mothers and fathers that hated that ad, especially when their kids said, Daddy, can you get me one of those wee monkeys and a packet of Duracells? And they say, I'll get you the monkey, but I'm getting you those cheap £1 batteries that don't last hardly any time at all. It's that. Do you know the trouble that God has gone to put that Bible in your hands? The Lord made a promise. He says, my word's going to last longer than this whole earth. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. He said, no matter what happens in this world, there will always be the word of God. It might not be in libraries, it might not be in people's bookshelves, but it will always be there for those that want it. My goodness, one copy of the Bible can help millions of people now in their little electronic devices. But yet and all, for it being free, how many people have loaded it onto their phone or their computer? God said you don't have to live in fear. If you were walking down this road, outside, no street lights, in the middle of the night, I'm going to guarantee you a few things. Make sure you're wearing something reflective because you could be killed by a car. You could come across a badger. There's two badgers I've come across now, and both have been hit by cars. So make sure you wear something reflective. If you got a nip by a fox, you could be in danger, or a rat, and there are both plenty of those around here. There's a river just 100 yards on the other side of that road. You could trip and fall over something and end up going head first into a grating. You'd be in trouble. You carry a flashlight so you can see where you're going. The Word of God says that the Word of God will be that lamp to your feet. It'll be a light to you. And through the Word of God, you'll be able to run through a troop. You'll be able to leap over a wall. That God will set you on your high places. This is what the Word of God promises us. And it is fuel for that fire when you listen to Him. Instead of the world, the fear disappears. That smog of fear that's everywhere disappears when you do it God's way. I know that I keep repeating this, but it's that important. I want for you in your Christian walk to have a life without fear. Yes, be afraid if someone runs up behind you and goes boom like that there. Catches you in the ribs and makes you jump a foot into the air. Yeah, be afraid. Or get a wee adrenaline rush if you put your fingers on a live wire. Norman did that the other day there and he got a wee lift off of the live. Thankfully I didn't. I hate that. But you don't have to live like that. You know what God said? God didn't give us the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. In other words, instead of trying to deal with all the problems of the world ourselves, oh, I don't have enough money to do that, I don't have the strength to do that, I don't have the intellect to work around it, we can call God. Lord, I'm having a problem with this thing. And the Lord will say, I did promise you, Mark, that if you spoke to me about everything, that I would lift the burden off you. Does it not say in that thing up at the back? And is it Matthew 11? It says, come unto your counselor, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and your counselor will give you rest. Do the things that your psychiatrist tells you to do, or your minister, or your teacher, or your career's advisor, and you will find rest unto your soul. For the things that they tell you are easy, and their burden is light. Now, that's not what it says. It says, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But when am I going to do that, Mark? Because there's films to be watched, there's TV to be watched. There's clothes to be washed, dishes to be washed, floors to be washed, windows to be washed. Is there anything else that needs washed? There's tools to be washed. There's walls to be painted. There's food to be prepared. There's the grass to cut. Stephen was out cutting his grass this evening. I saw Carol at her grass cut. And we have no time for spent in God's presence. We give him the dregs and we hurry out a quick prayer before we close our eyes and go to our beds at night. If we took time and read a piece of scripture, one verse, read it 10 times and repeated it out loud, I have seen little children memorize a Bible verse after saying it 10 times out loud.
And that wee verse will be rattling around in those little heads. And the Lord God Almighty and the Holy Spirit that resides inside reserves the right to remind them to use that as fuel for their wee lives, for the rest of their lives, at any time. And if you do it for those little ones, he'll do it for you and me. He said, God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Because whenever you're afraid, you don't behave properly. There are times in our lives whenever a sudden shock or an accident or passing of somebody or an injury, something like that, will literally knock us off our reels. God said, I came to give you something that no matter what you're going through, it never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you're having a great day, the Lord is still there, and he's still your big brother, and the Holy Spirit is still your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Lord God Almighty in heaven is still dispatching angels to minister to you. All of his scriptures are still, they still apply. Those verses that you committed to your heart are still in your heart. If you're having an awful day, when nothing is working, when you're grinding your teeth, and all you want to do is stand out in the field and shout, guess what? God is still in heaven and he's still sending angels to minister to you. Those verses of scripture are still stored up in your heart. They're ready for you to call upon to siphon off that fear, that anger, that frustration and replace it with the word of God, which God said in Romans chapter 1 is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That's what God wants you to have. Power, love, and a sound mind. Not fear. Never fear. The Bible is, of course, full of examples of people that didn't. You say, aye, but they were. That was years ago when God was still working in people's lives. Well, I beg to differ. God is still working in people's lives. We still need God working in our lives. When Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, or Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego said, you know what, Nebuchadnezzar? We're not going to worship you. You've been a good king. We pray for you, but you're not our God. Even whenever they rejected that, they didn't fear the king, but they had a healthy, fearful respect of God, and they obeyed him, and God saw them through. Whenever I was faced with the prospect of looking after Bethel, that was nearly 20 years ago. Company car, company pension, good money. And I remember saying to the Lord, the moment of time, in the middle of a board meeting, the Lord said to me, do you want to be doing this in 10 years? Do you want to be like a little pup hopping through hoops for your boss for the rest of your life? I said, you know what, Lord, I don't want to be doing that. He says, what about working for me? I said, you know what, Lord, I would love to, but how would I look after myself? How would I pay a mortgage? How would I eat? And the Lord said, you stick with me and I'll sort that all out. The Lord showed me, sold my house, my mother passed away, all within a month or two of each other. I received an inheritance, I received the equity in my house. I was good for 10 years, 12 years, and the church gave me a little stipend, £50 a week. And all that time. And you know what? I managed. And it didn't bother me. I didn't have a new car every 3 years. And it didn't bother me. I wasn't out wheeling and dealing with all of these swanky people and their BMWs and one thing and another. That didn't bother me one little bit. You know what bothered me? Is that folks were being lied to in Derry and around the world about their eternities, and that I had a real desire to tell people the truth of God. That each one of us is a sinner, and God loves us so much he sent his son to die for us on the cross. And that we don't have to live our lives in fear of doing enough to get into heaven, because Jesus did that already. We should live our lives looking to do what God wants for us to do. Filling our hearts and minds with the scriptures instead of what Facebook or Twitter or especially the BBC News says. Not spending our lives with our faces in Facebook, but our faces in the book. Singing God's praises instead of the filthy songs the world would have you sing. Speaking to each other in psalms and, I think the Bible says, spiritual songs. Instead of our contemporary pop music and our famous one-liners from popular movies. That's what God has for us. And I'm going to tell you, friends, it is easy on the soul, that life. It's easy on the soul. And that's what God wants for us. He never promised us an easy life, but he promised us a safe arrival and that he would be with us every step of the way. That's what he promised us. And he, so far for me, has delivered. And I expect him to keep delivering. And God is faithful, even when I'm not, to hold up his side of the bargain, even when we don't. And if you want that love, it'll be found in the pages of the King James Bible. It'll be found on your hands and knees. It'll be found, I wrote it down, the solution is in God's word, in the Bible, in God's presence, in prayer, and in God's service, doing what he asks you to do. And I would urge you to start in that good old book. Start in the gospel. And remember this one thing. That book was written to you as an individual, to you as a person, greatly loved by God, who wants the very best for you and wants to see souls saved. And as you read that book like that, those words will find a place in your heart and mind. And you see, the ones that don't, jam them in there. Just keep repeating them over and over again. You will be amazed how much they will help you. You don't have to be afraid. Just turn your eyes upon Jesus and trust in him, and everything will work out for the best. Isn't that what it says in Romans 8:28? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Amen. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time, good sports. God bless you. Let's sing our closing song. I think for the first time in recorded history, we might even be finished by 8 o'clock. Are we singing number 27, Near My God? Is that the one that was picked?
Yes.
Sounds good to me. Number 27 in the Black Book. Stand as we sing Near My God today. Number 27 in the Black Book.
dismiss with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and for this day. Please bless us as we go our separate ways. Please put your good hand upon our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be. Protect, provision, prevent even, Lord, but please deliver us our daily needs. We love you and thank you. Pray for your good hand upon us as we labour and as we travel. But most importantly, we pray for your will to be done. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little while.